Good evening and welcome everyone for the tonight's talk. I've been out since this morning 8:30, so I have really planned out so nicely. I was thinking that as long as I go out early enough, so I'll be back at the monastery at around 1, then I have a bit of rest, then I come to Nolamara to give a talk. But life is just always that, out of control. Even I planned it so well, but it just don't go according to my plans. And I ended up like I reached back to the monastery at 5, and I quickly picked up my stuff. I have to come to Nolamara because I have an appointment at 6 o'clock, and there's hole there. So that's like sometimes life. I've been reflecting on that. Sometimes we think that we are in control, but actually life is just completely out of control. I mean, sometimes we plan, isn't it? No matter how hard, sometimes we try to do all the right things. Things just go wrong, isn't it? Like our projects, And it's sometimes, things always go wrong. And it don't go according to plans, isn't it? And we try and try and try so hard and try to do the right things. Sometimes even we put in 100% effort, we might not get 100% results, isn't it? That is not according to our wish, that whether we sometimes because of we plan and things doesn't work. And what's next? We started to have doubt, isn't it? Maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe we started to blame other people, the other person's fault, or we blame ourselves. And we start to have that, doubt, and then started to have this, you have to question ourselves, maybe you think, oh, maybe I didn't do the right thing. Maybe I'm not good enough. And slowly, we started to really worry about, in the future, things doesn't work out anymore, isn't it? And as a nuns or monks, we have sometimes people come to us, and we have counseling, and I see that people worry so much, from all age, even teenager, they worry about whether they're going to pass the exam, isn't it? And there's people worry about whether they're getting a job or they lose their job, and we have someone that they talk to me, they worry about they couldn't get a partner, And recently I saw an article that said in China and in China and in Hong Kong, those girls when they are at the age of 25, they started to worry. Because this is how they plan out. They were thinking, 25, if you couldn't get a partner or, for the girls, if you couldn't get a boyfriend, then it's very difficult that you can get married before 30. Because they have the kind of like they want to get married before 30. So they say, oh, I got to quickly get a boyfriend age 25 so that, it takes a couple of years to know each other. And then you got married. That is about times, that this is how we try to times, But we cannot control out of control, isn't it? The most Buddhist basic teaching, things happen according to causes and conditions. And sometimes it's beyond our control. The problem is we think that we're in control. Then we try harder and harder. Sometimes it's nothing wrong with us. Doesn't mean, sometimes like whatever we do, it's always that it's a problem happen. That is part of life. So when the Buddha got enlightened, the first teaching the Buddha gave, that is the Four Noble Truths. The first Noble Truth that is, the translation they use suffering, but I prefer to use life is inherently unsatisfactory. So no matter what we do, things is not going to be, we can't get things right, you see. We can do our best, we can try very hard. And maybe some people think that, so since you said that life is out of control, so why bother? So we don't have to plan, isn't it? So actually, it doesn't mean that we don't have to plan. We can plan things. It's just Achan Chai used to say, like you feed the duck, your responsibility, you just feed it. isn't it? Whether how fast the duck grow, it's not up to us, isn't it? We cannot control, ask the duck, come on, duck, come on, I want you to grow quickly. You cannot, isn't it? Things, sometimes we've been conditioned, we are so results-oriented. We always look at the result. What are we going to get out of this, isn't it? When we plan something, we always look ahead. We always, you know, go into the future rather than just spend, you know, putting effort into this moment. This moment important, put in the causes and let the results, you know, let things unfold by itself. Because we can, it's not that we cannot plan. We still plan. But if things not going to work out, it's okay. For example, like if we want to do something, firstly, we have to have the motivation, isn't it? The intention to do something. So the attention arises, okay. Then we have to put into action, isn't it? The motive is there, intention is there, action. So for example, if we want to plant a mango tree, so we want to have delicious and sweet mangoes, so we have that intention. So after that, what do we do? So we try to collect a seed, isn't it? So we collect a, if you want to have a sweet mangoes, to get a sweet mango tree is a big. So we have to get a good seed, isn't it? Make sure that it is sweet, a good seed, isn't it? And then we got, this is how, if we plant something, we have to go for, we have to research and, you know, and do all these things. It's not that we are not doing it. A lot of people, you know, they swing from one end to another. They say, okay, since it's out of control, so I do nothing, I can't do anything about it. It's not. So we still do our best. So then we collect the seed. Then sometimes we might be cheated. Someone might cheat us, isn't it? They give us those sour seed. And then they said, this is a really good seed, you know? And that is beyond our control, isn't it? Okay, even though we got a sweet, you know, mango seed, then we planted it, isn't it? We plant it and we put in fertilizer, and then we have to make sure that we plant it in a right climate. So, you know, some places they are not suitable for this plants, isn't it? If it's not suitable, it's very difficult to grow, isn't it? So we have to, then it's all the right thing we do. Then we plant it, and we water the plant, and you know, we water the seed, and it's grow, and it, you know, started to grow. Then we fertilize it, and we started to see this plant growing, and we are so happy. And so one day, there is a storm. The whole thing's been damaged, the whole plants. So whose fault? Is it that you're not doing the right thing? You know, is it that something wrong with you? Is it that you're not good enough? It's not, isn't it? It's just that some of the things is beyond our control. But of course, the part that we can control, yes, we can, we do our best. So because of that, we think that we're in control, and then you try very hard, and when things doesn't work out, and we think that it's wrong, and then we focus so much. For example, like sometimes, like not long ago, where someone, just because that person, he lost his job and he committed suicide, and everybody said, oh, it's not a big deal, isn't it? Losing a job, you know, you don't have to commit suicide. But why? Because of sometimes we focus so much on that, you know. So because we think that it's so important, the more we think about it, it's manifest. And just sometimes ago, I read an article. They do an experiment. So then in the class, there's some students. So they put a whiteboard in front of the students, and they put a dog, you know, just on the whiteboard. And then they ask the student, what can you see? And the student said, the dog. And then they ask, can't you see the rest of the board? This is how we focus so much, isn't it? Sometimes we think that that's the end of the world. We feel our exam, and even sometimes ago, someone feel the exam, they commit suicide. And we think that, you know, we think that this is the whole part of our life. So things doesn't work out. It's no big deal. That is part of life because we don't understand. We don't understand this is part of life. The Buddha said, no matter what you do, you can do our best. But things is not going to always go according to our, you know, plans, our wish, you know. We can wish, you know, for it. And we can do our best. It's not that we are failed. And sometimes people identify that when things doesn't work out, and then they think that they fail and they're failure and are not good enough. But because sometimes if we understand that that is part of life, so when things doesn't work out, it's all right, isn't it? So if relationship doesn't work out, it's okay. Oh, you know, you can just become a monk or nuns. Okay, fine. You know, no worries, you know. No worries, you know. Just, and if we fail our exam, no worries. We take it, we take the test again next year. You know, it's no worries, you know. And if our boyfriend or girlfriend dump us and marry our best friend, it's no worries, it's fine. Because thing is going to get goes things anyway is going to go wrong, isn't it? It's out of control, completely out of control. It's normal. I remember today when we visited have a meeting with our architect. So he said, "Oh, may I offer you a coffee?" So because last time we have a meeting with him afternoon because we don't eat afternoon. So we don't drink milk. So he got the perception that we don't drink milk. So then he said, okay, you're not having milk. We said, no, before midday, we are normal. We can drink milk. So after midday, we're abnormal. We can't eat milk. We can't drink milk. I said, before midday, it's okay. We can drink, we can eat whatever. You know, we can have food. We can drink milk because milk is considered food. So we don't drink milk, you know, after midday. So sometimes, like, you know, it's normal. But the problem is we think that it's wrong. We think that things shouldn't go wrong. So because of we don't understand being humans, being part in this whole cycle, because for Buddhists, we believe in rebirth, the whole birth, you know, the whole rebirth cycle, this whole cycle. So that is part of that. But that's why the Buddha said that the suffering doesn't mean that we have lots of suffering. But the Buddha said inherently unsatisfactory. We never get it right, no matter what we do, isn't it? Sometimes, like, for example, whatever you do, sometimes you've been praised, sometimes you've been criticized. And it's normal. It's just impossible that you got all the praise all the time, isn't it? So that is normal. And sometimes we think that we shouldn't have problems and we try to fix the problem. And your problem can never fix. You know, you have others' problem again and again, you know. So that's if you don't understand that this that is part of life, being living in the world, that is part of that. Because a lot of things, like for example, we cannot control other people, isn't it? Even our own, you know, relatives, our own parents. We cannot control. It's just recently we had some, you know, some nuns that she spoke to me. She said that because of she's not come from a Buddhist background, like her parents couldn't understand why she become a nun and was very upset with her become a nun. So, and she feel very painful that it's not acceptable to her parents. So I said, yes. I said, that's what you can see. That is the Buddha's teaching of non-self. We cannot control. You know, it's just like I remember when my mom was very sick. She was dying, and it's very painful to look at her that she suffered. But I really so helpless. I can't do anything at all. But it's just we are not in control, isn't it? So sometimes that the most painful part is that we couldn't accept the fact that we can't do anything because we think that we're in control. So we try very hard to control things, and yes. In theory, we accept that, we understand in theory, yeah, it's non-self, you know, we can't control things, you know, but deep down, we still want to control, isn't it? And because the Buddha's teaching of non-self is non-self. So because, yeah, in theory we understand that, oh, I should let go. I mean, yes, in theory, but, you know, we need to practice. You know, it will not happen overnight. It's just like we have to recondition ourselves and we have to change the way we think because we've been conditioned that way. You know, we've been conditioned that we control everything. We control our children. We control our friends. We try to make things go according to the way we want it to be, isn't it? And then constantly we want others to live up to our expectation. And then we also expect ourselves, isn't it? We expect ourselves to live up to our own expectation. So we try to control, but we can't. You know, and then we have no control, isn't it? Whether people praise us or people going to criticize us, isn't it? We cannot. So, but if we can't let that go, so ultimately, who is the one who suffers? We, isn't it? Because we cannot stop what other people say. You know, we cannot control them. So, if we understand that, the more we reflect on that, we understand that, then we can let it go, you know, little by little. We reflect on that each time we find ourselves couldn't let that go. We reflect, and then we let go little by little. So when we understand that it's just part of life, and it's no problem, no big deal, no worries, things go wrong, it's okay, it's normal. So then we come, because it's easy that in theory we understand that, but we still not come to a place of acceptance. That is the difficult part. We do not accept the fact that we cannot control. But we still want to control. You know, to come to a place of acceptance is very difficult. We have that resentment. We try want to control. So then if we understand that it's part of life, and that's why when we have problem, it's no big deal. We know that there is just, no matter what we do, we cannot always solve all the problems. It's always that something go wrong. Then, because of our expectation, our suffering is come from our expectation, isn't it? We expect, you know, things should be this, that should be that way, you know. And it doesn't go according to what we expected to be. We got very upset. You know, and then we start to question ourselves. We start to think that we are incapable, and we are failure, and all these things. So we start to question because we think that things should go according to our wishes, go according to our expectation. So talk about expectation. This remind me of a joke. There was a couple, and this couple. It's Sally and James. They're married for 20 years. So they've been married for 20 years. And the wife, Sally, she's been putting up with her husband, James, because her husband, James, likes to eat baked beans. So he can't live without baked beans. He got to have baked beans every day. So every day he wants baked beans. So because of that, because of him having baked beans, and he farts a lot. So the wife said, I couldn't stand anymore, you know. I've been living with you for 20 years, you know. I put up with you for 20 years. Now, no more. So the wife told her, from 2 days onwards, no more baked beans. I have enough. I have put up with you. I have enough. So no more baked beans from 2 days. So, okay. Then after that, what happened? He said, no, I can't live up baked bean. I have to have baked bean every day. So he came up with a brilliant idea. You know, James, he said, okay. So he told his wife, he said, from today onwards, you know, because I want to slim down. I'm a bit too fat, you know. I'm putting on weight, you know. So I want to exercise a little bit. So today onwards, I'm going to walk to work. So morning, he will walk. The shortcut. So then he go to work. When he come back from his work, he walk the long way. So that he stop by to a daily to have his baked bean, so that he has enough time, so he will fart along before he come go back, you know. So that he get all this out, you know, all the gas out, you know, before he reach home. So he did that. So one day the wife said to to him. He said, okay, James, darling, today is a birthday, you know, so make sure that you come back early. Okay, make sure that you come back early. Don't, you know, don't be late. Today is a birthday. It's very a special day for you. So, because he has to come back early. So what do you do? So he changed his schedule instead of going the shortcut to work, you know, so and long way come back. So he has to take the shortcut to come back. But he still couldn't live without his back pain. He still dropped by to get his, have his back pain, you know. Then he arrived home because it's just very short distance. This time he cannot take the long and couldn't get all out. So he's arrived home. Then the darling, okay, darling, you know, today is a happy your birthday. I'm busy cooking in the kitchen, so I have something, a surprise for you. So, but you need to put on your blindfold. So come. So the wife holding his hand and asked him to sit on his the dining chair. So he's put on the blindfold. So okay, darling, I won't be long. I'm going to finish my cooking. So you just sit there and wait. So don't open up your blindfold. You just sit there and wait, you know. So he's sitting there. Then he started to really fantasizing, oh, what he's going to get. So the wife is going to cook him the food that he's really like, steak, you know, and all this delicious food, yummy, you know, he's all this fantasy, like expecting what he's going to get. So, and then all this thing, he just feel this rambling in the stomach, you know, then he's like, oh, what happened? Then he just slowly lit on his right side, you know, and then he get his out, the air, he's get the air out, then he sit down again. So, okay, then he was waiting there. Then after a little while, again, the stomach rambling again. Oh, he said. Then he just lift the left side, you know, and then let the gas out. And then he said, oh, really stinging. Then he started to, this is really sting. Then he sit down again. And then again, you know, non-stop, you know, again another one is really, really sound so loud, you know. It's really fast, so loud. And it's really sting. Then he get up, you know, try to, because then he said, darling, are you still there? Yes, I won't be long. He's still in the kitchen. Then he sit down. Then, so he keep doing that, you know, so he's still worried about that it's really sting, so he tried to get rid of the smell, you know. Then after that, the wife came out, and then the wife put the hand around his neck. Okay, darling, you know, I finished, so I give you the surprise, you know, I'm going to open your blindfold. So when the wife opened his blindfold, and then the six of his best friend was in front of him looking at him. This is how we have all this. No, why? Sometimes when we worry, it's because of we have negativity towards the future, isn't it? But we have positive thinking, it's become we fantasize, isn't it? We think of all this good thing is going to happen. So because one of the reason whether we are positive or negative, you know, in the future, so it's still, you know, we're either fantasizing or we start to worry, isn't it? But we are not, the reason why, because we are not living in the moment. We place so much importance in the future that unknown, but rather than we stay in this moment and to look at the cause of the suffering come from the expectation. So when we expect so much, what is that come followed by that when things doesn't work out? Disappointment, isn't it? Because we expect things, we put in so much effort. And this is why, you know, then if we understand this is part of life, then so when we're having any problem, then we don't start to blame others or to think that we are not good enough and start to beat ourselves up. We start to investigate to look for the cause of the problem, isn't it? If we don't, sometimes we don't even see that there is problem, isn't it? We don't see that. If we don't see that, we will not try to find where is the cause of the problem, isn't it? So the problem is we think that we shouldn't have problem. So that is the problem, isn't it? So if we know that having problem is not a problem, no worries, it's okay. Then whenever we suffer, we investigate, we look at where is the cause of the suffering, where is this coming from? It's coming from our one thing. You know, we want it to be this way, we want it to, you know, we don't want to be otherwise. The Buddha always said, what you expected to be is always otherwise. And we spend so much time, you know, and this comes from our sense of self, our ego, that we try to control everything. We want the things go according to what we want it to be. And even though in theory we understand, but deep down we don't accept that. We still want to control. That is the problem. So that's why when we not be able to look at our problems in life, you know, objectively, so we can never investigate, we can never find the cause of our problem. Because we take it personally, come from the sense of self, me and mine, I want to be like that, I want this, I want that, and or craving not to be, I don't want this, isn't it? So then this is the problem, because we take it personally, we think that is, you know, we identify the problem with ourselves. We think that we shouldn't have the problem, and that is me, that is mine, and there's something wrong with me. That's why sometimes people couldn't take it, because they just focus on themselves. They think that they're having this is a really big deal, if this not going to happen, and that's the end. No. So our whole life, you know, whatever happened to us is only part of our life. So life is not an end result. Life is a process. So we enjoy each moment, we enjoy the process. You see, nowadays I discovered that many people that they're always living, you know, they're always living in the future. They're always looking up, you know, what is going to happen next, you know. So when we constantly looking, you know, what is going to happen next, and we not be able to enjoy what we already got right now. Just for example, is when I was in Singapore, and I was invited to have lunch, you know. So they took me to this restaurant and offered me lunch. And you know what? When the food come and they started to take picture, you know, then they post on the Facebook. And this is how, you know, rather than, you know, just enjoy the food, because by the time you're taking all this picture, you know, the food's already cold. And not be able to enjoy our food, isn't it? So we just, you know, and people go to see this I saw sometimes some of these articles, you know, and people going for this concert, and they're busy videoing, busy photo, you know, taking photos, and rather than just enjoy, you know, just being there, enjoy, you know, the music. Sometimes it's not that we cannot enjoy life, you know, we can, but without like craving for more, we just happy with that moment. If we be able to live in the moment, actually is really a bliss. It's very blessed. So a lot of people think that, you know, a busy person is doing lots of things. You know, doing lots of things is not a busy person. A busy person, Ajahn Brahm used to say, is someone who do many things at one time. So if you do one thing at a time, you just enjoy that process, the whole that moment. So because this is the reason why we are not living in the moment, then we start to worry and then we start to fantasize, isn't it? So or we carry all the guilt that is happened in the past, or we always attach to the past. We say, oh, nothing is as good as, you know, those, usually, you know, people like us, oh, those old good days, you know, attached to the past, you know, still living in the past. So always remember all the old good days, and not living the moment is already past, isn't it? So that's why we understand life is just a process, it's not an end result. So because if we constantly expecting something and we are not living in the moment, we miss out a lot. We will not be able to enjoy the food that we have, we will not be able to enjoy the moment that we have with our loved ones. Isn't it sometimes even we with our love form we start to SMS and doing some other things? And I find it strange, you know, sometimes I sit down there and I see people sitting around the table and they don't talk to each other, they just and you know that they just not be able. Actually it's a bliss if you be able to just, you know, be in that moment. And we are constantly, you know, that because of our mind so busy. So it's very difficult to stop our mind. That's why we have to put this into practice every day. You have to train the mind to stop. So that is a way out. We can stop the mind. We can train the mind to stop. Like, for example, when we try to rush from one room to another, we just stop for a few moments before we enter to the room. You know, that when, for example, whenever we notice that we are aware that we try to rush from one thing to another, then we just stop for 1 second. Can we do that? We can, isn't it? So you can train your mind to stop because the mind been too busy. There's sometimes people say, oh, I can't, I very difficult to sit, very difficult to meditate. Of course, because the mind been busy, you cannot force the mind to stop immediately. But you have to get into the habit of not allowing the mind go into these old habits, you know, rushing from one thing to another. So in our daily life, we try to stop 1 second each time we notice that. And then into the habit of stopping the mind. So the mind less busy. And you calm the mind down, calming the mind. So when the mind calms down, so you'll be able to live in this moment, you know, to deal with things, you know, in each moment. So actually, we miss out a lot. So sometimes we always think that, oh, only if I fix all the problem, then I can meditate. You can never fix all your problem. You can never. There is no such a place that, you know, that you fix all the problems and then I think become just happy all the time. No, you don't have such a problem. You don't have such a place that's called happiness all the time. We all always living between happiness and suffering, isn't it? When our suffering ends, we feel happy, isn't it? So when our happiness ends, you suffer. But that is part of life, being a human, you know? So if we accepted that, we recognize that. But the problem sometimes we don't even recognize that. So if we don't recognize that, we can't deal with the problems, the suffering, you know, the problems in life. Only you recognize that, then only you'll be able to deal with your problems in life. So we can, the work outside can never end. The suffering outside can never end. We can never end the suffering outside. Sometimes we think that our suffering is come from outside. No. The suffering ends within ourselves. The suffering come from the holding on. So sometimes we find ourselves that, you know, very agitated, very irritated, and you know, and very grumpy, and very upset. We ask ourselves, what are we holding on? So sometimes we think that our problem is outside, and then we try to fix all the problem outside. You can never fix the Buddha said, if our problems come from outside, none of us can get enlightened. Because you can never fix the problem outside. You can only end the suffering within yourself. And I remember someone told me that, you know, I don't know why, you know, my work never ends, you know, I always so much work to do. Then I told this person, I said, if you can end your work, so your boss is not going to employ you. Isn't it? It's going to end, you know, work, then, you know, they're not going to employ you. I said, the work outside you can never end, but we can end the work within ourselves to look inside. But we always think the problem is outside. And this is how we constantly think that, you know, is outside. That when things go wrong, rather than looking at what we're holding on. And this also reminds me of one of the jokes. That's three brothers. And these three brothers, one is Tom, and one is Dick, and one is Harry. Tom, Dick, and Harry. So these three brothers, and three of them had their own girlfriends. And they never, these three brothers, they have never met their girlfriends before. So So then they know that the brothers have the girlfriends, but they never met each other. So one day, when Dick and Harry was, the two of them were out, and they saw Tom with his girlfriend. And two of them looked at his girlfriend, they're really shocked. Said, "Oh my dear, oh my God, how come Tom's girlfriend so ugly? It's horrible." Yeah. Then they went to ask, and then they said, "How come he's such a good looking man? The girlfriend is so ugly." And they went to ask God. He said, "Why Tom having such an ugly girlfriend?" So the God reply was, "Because he killed one ant, then he was being punished to have an ugly girlfriend." So, and then another day, and after a few days later, and Tom and Harry, met Dick's girlfriend. And this time, two of them really shocking. She's even uglier than Tom's girlfriend. He said, "What happened? So ugly." And then they went to ask God. God said, "Oh, because Dick kills two ants. So then he was being punished that got an uglier girlfriend." Then after that, sometimes later, then Tom and Dick eventually met Harry's girlfriend, and they're really shocked. And his girlfriend is so pretty, is so beautiful, like Miss Universe. They said, "Oh, how come he deserves such a beautiful girl?" Then they asked God. They said, "Why, Harry has such a beautiful girlfriend?" And God's answer was, God's reply was, "Because his girlfriend killed many, many ants." And sometimes we think that we got to stop. Sometimes we think that, we have to put up with this person, we have to put up that person, and we have so much problem, and we don't really see, that what we're holding on. Sometimes that, but of course, it's easy that I ask you to let go, isn't it? It's easy to say it and done. But of course, you need to train. That's right. That is a way out. That is to being a virtuous person, keeping the precept, there's a morality. Because being a virtuous person, morality, is the keeping precept actually is training of the mind. Of course, we wouldn't keep it, perfectly, it's fine. The Buddha said, this is a gradual training. You train little by little, So maybe we not be able to keep it perfectly, it's fine. If we be able to keep one precept, it's fine. Then we improve, we keep two and then three and four and five, isn't it? So we improve ourselves each time. So if we make mistakes, it's okay. We exercise this forgiveness, forgive ourselves. And so because morality is important to support a peaceful mind. Because when we have done something that we feel that is not quite right, it really bothers us, isn't it? It's the mind very difficult to calm down. So that's why we need the support. The morality, we need the support, the morality to support the peaceful mind. So if we meditate, so keeping the precept, being a good person and then a peaceful person to develop wisdom. So the only way we can help ourselves, no one can help us, we can only help ourselves by develop our own wisdom to solve our problems in life. So even the Buddha right in front of us, he can't help us. He can only point out the way. Ultimately, like the last talk I said, Buddhism is a DIY religion. So that's why you see, Buddhism is really, is really up to date. It's even though it's 2,500 years ago, but it's still, nowadays, it's a trend, isn't it? DIY. So that's why the Buddha is still, is to keep up with this trend, DIY. So you apply this, you put it into practice to develop your own wisdom. And that no one can take it away from you to solve your problem, because we can't solve others' problem. We can only solve our own problems. That's why we sometimes we have people come to us, you know, have problems like young girls with problems with drugs and things like that. Then I told them, I said, even though I would like to help you as much, I would love to help you. I really would like to help you, but you have to help yourself. Isn't it? You have to be willing to help yourself. It's no point that I try to help you, you know, try to pull you up. But if you don't want to help yourself, what can I do? Isn't it? I can't help you if you don't have the willingness, you know, to determine that this is, I'm going to pull myself up. And no matter how much I try, you know, try to give her the support and try to give her the care, you know, the kindness, the compassion. But ultimately, I said, you have to do the work. You have to help yourself. So we have this a teaching. So all you need to do to put into practice, of course, you know, it will not happen overnight. It takes time. It's a gradual training. So we have to retrain the mind. We have to recondition the mind. Recondition the change the usual way of thinking. It's difficult, isn't it? Old habit die hard. You know, even I discover myself, like, I stop doing certain things, you know. Then even after a while, you go back the whole way of doing things, isn't it? You still fall back the old ways. It's okay. Because it's just like, when we change our way of thinking, it's just like the stream of water, like, flowing to the right side. So if you want to change the way of thinking, it's just like changing the way of the water flow, isn't it? Rather than flow to this side, we try to channel. So we have to dig another channel, isn't it? To channel it to the other side, you know. So of course, sometimes the water flow the other side. But sometimes you still discover that the water will flow a little bit back to the original channel, isn't it? So because the channel is not deep enough, so the practice is just like you have to dig a new channel. So because it's not deep enough, so all we need to do, we need to deepening our practice. So until that is deep enough, that it doesn't fall back. So it's okay. Sometimes that not to question, not to think that, you know, I have no progress. Sometimes we used to look at what we haven't achieved yet, but we never look at how far we have come to, what we have already achieved. You know, so sometimes it's good that you appreciate. The Buddha always encourages us to appreciate ourselves, to look at, you know, what, you know, the goodness, you know, that we have done, to appreciate ourselves, to respect ourselves. And sometimes we always think that we are not good enough because we're always looking at what haven't done yet, but we don't look at how far we have come to and what we have achieved. So, of course, sometimes it's still there. Like, this old habitual pattern is still there. Because as a Buddhist, we believe in rebirth. Because it's many lifetimes. Because some of those habitual patterns not even come from this lifetime. Come from previous life. So, just imagine, you think we can just done with this old habitual pattern? Just within a few years or a few months? Even, you know, you can't. Even those don't believe in rebirth. And those conditionings, since we were born, we have that kind of, a certain way of thinking, you know, a certain way of, we have this old conditioning. We can't change it, isn't it, within a few years. We have that for many, many years, since we were born. So it takes time, it's a gradual training. So all we need to do, we have to keep practicing and deepening our practice. So I offer this for your reflection, and may this teaching be of benefit to all of you. So any questions or comments? So this person asked, what is dukkha or suffering? Because the Buddha said, the first noble truth is, the Buddha said, life is dukkha. Dukkha in Pali. But a lot of translations that they translate as suffering. But I personally prefer to use that is inherently unsatisfactory. So sometimes we can find ourselves like in a very difficult situation. Whatever decision we make, we are not going to solve the problem, isn't it? There's not always easy solution, isn't it? Like I remember some times ago, we have a question someone asked. So he said that as a Buddhist, we want to keep the precept like non-harming, not killing. But my house has termites. What am I going to do with this? I can't just let the termite to eat up my whole house, isn't it? I have to do something about it. So that's why the Buddha said life is inherently unsatisfactory because of we cannot avoid to live on the expense of others. No matter what we do, even we build something that is it cause a lot of damage, isn't it? But we can only do our best. It's always compared to our intention. So we cannot make things, we can, whatever we do, even we do the right thing, it's not going to be perfect. So they said the Buddha said inherently unsatisfactory. So so the only way the Buddha said to get out of the samsara is not to be reborn. Because this is part of life, like a package, you know. You've been born in the samsara, that is a whole package that is inherently unsatisfactory. Inherently that is not going to solve all your problems in life. There is always a problem. And we cannot avoid that whatever we do, that is, it causes damage to others, you know. The only way out, the Buddha said, is not to be reborn. So that's right, that is the Buddha, that's right, the Buddha said, is suffering. The first one, no matter we do, we can only do our best. That's all we can do. So not to be reborn, that is a way to not to suffer. Because that is part of being human. That's part of being in this whole cycle of rebirth. So any more questions or comments? Okay.
And what about the house? We let them eat the house?
There's like, this is, you know, one of the reasons why people like to come to ask the monks or nuns questions because they don't want to take responsibility. Oh, the monk says so, the nun says so, then they, you know. So we always throw the ball back to them. So we give them the advice. It's okay, you know, that's part of it, you know. That you have to make your own decision. So that you have to understand there is no easy solution. I'm not going to say that this is right or this is wrong. Sometimes things is not black and white. The problem is we being conditioned. We always want black and white. Sometimes there's no black and white. So then he said, you have to decide yourself whether what you... But always go back to your intention. Do you have an intention to harm anyone? That is the most important thing. So sometimes we cannot avoid. Like for example, we have this building project. When we clear the land, a lot of creatures die. But we need to have the facilities to accommodate more nuns, to train more nuns, to teach, you know, to give teaching, you know, to help more people. So this is how life, you know, unsatisfactory. We can't really kiss the world. We can't really, you know, sometimes that is some of the decision that we have to make. That is very painful decision that we have to make. That is part of life. There is no easy solution. That's why the Buddha said, the first noble truth, inherently unsatisfactory. You know, sometimes whatever decision we make, it's not going to please everyone, isn't it? We can't please everyone. And basically, we just can't really solve all the problems in life. So that's why always we go back to the intention. So we ask ourselves, do I have the intention to cause any hurts or harm to others? That is because what the Buddhist in our the monks and nuns, they have our rules. What we consider is we transgress the rule. For example, like killing, you have to fulfill 5 conditions. You have to have the motive. You have the intention to kill. And then you have to have the object, the person that the things, the person that you kill. And then you have to have the action, and then you have to complete the action. So the 5 conditions have to fulfill, then it's considered a killing. Is that answer your question? Yeah, because you have to fulfill the 5 conditions. You have to have the person that doing the killing, and then the object, the motivation, intention, the object, the action, and have to be completed. Like for example, even though you have the intention to kill your girlfriend, and then but half you think, oh, I think that she's still quite lovely, she's okay. Oh, you change your mind, you're not going to kill him. So even you have the intention, but it's not complete, isn't it? So then you have to fulfill the 5 conditions. Then you can say that is fulfill the conditions that you carry out the action, the killing. Any more questions or comments? Yes.
Hello. I've just got a question because I feel that when the term used, life is suffering, I feel that is quite negative.
Yeah.
In my experience, I feel that life is bliss.
Yeah.
And it's only suffering when people have rubbish chucked on their front door that they don't even accept or know how to deal with or don't want to even look at. And that's really the only way that I find that I suffer.
Yeah.
So
what
is your view on this?
To me, it's a lot of people that misinterpret that actually the Four Noble Truths is not about that suffering and you got to suffer. No. Actually, it's a happy path. The Buddha just point out to us why we suffer. Because we don't understand suffering. That's why we suffer. If we understand, we suffer less. You know what I mean? Because we don't see that it's a suffering. Then we keep doing things that hurting ourselves and hurting others. But if we see that this is hurting, we don't do it. The point is, people just don't even know what causes them suffer and the suffering to themselves and to others. They don't see that. So actually, this is a happy path. There is a way out. There is an ending. The Buddha talk about, you understand the suffering, then you find out the cause of suffering, then it's an ending of suffering, and there is a way out of suffering. So it's a happy path. But people just sometimes when someone is negative, you can interpret it in a negative way. You know, when you look at it, actually it's a positive. Like for example, when we said that, oh, you know, we reflect on impermanence, you know, to reflect on we are going to die, you know. And sometimes people worry about they're going to die, they're going to get sick, you know, things like that. But actually, when the Buddha asks us to reflect on that, to remind ourselves, actually, it's not being pessimistic, actually it's being positive. So that we fully make use of what we got right now. So we become more appreciative. Any each moment, we appreciative, you know, to our family, so we don't waste the time we spend. Whenever we have time, whenever we are with our family, we be with them fully. You know, this moment we spend our time. So not, you know, we go back to visit our families and then we start doing this, you know, not really talking to our family, you know, spend time with them. Then it's not appreciated because we know that we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know whether we're going to see them tomorrow. So we make the most of it while we got it. Actually, it's very positive and actually it's being appreciative of life. So we don't waste our life into the future and then carry the guilt about the past, the things that we have done, you know. So we treasure each moment. We become more appreciative. Actually, it's very positive. So is that answer your question? Yes. Okay.
Ajahn Hasapana, just now you mentioned about when things happen, you know, the way not to our expectation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you explain all the different ways to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What came to my mind was mindfulness, you know? Mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And the opposite of mindfulness, which is excessive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? Yeah. So like, if you're in mindful, this thing, okay, we can control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite of that, because most of us, we as when things don't come our way, we make a mountain of a mole, you know. We have all this excessive thinking, we exaggerate things, and then we there's, how to say, anger, fear, all arise, and all the suffering.
So
that's what came to my mind. You explain all the things, yeah.
Okay. Beside mindfulness, you have to have a stillness, you have to have the strength of mind to stop. I remember someone said to me, you know, I'm really mindful of what I'm doing, you know, I'm really mindful. So, I remember many years ago, I was still a lay person, and I couldn't buy back my punk. I said to him, I said, you know, do you aware that you're always so angry? Of course I'm aware that I'm angry. I'm just watching my anger coming up, my anger. So I said, oh yeah, you're aware of your anger, and then eventually you kill someone. You just aware is not enough. You have to be able to stop that. That's what the Buddha said, that is morality, cultivation of the mind. Cultivation of the mind has three aspects. The three aspects is mindfulness, stillness, be able to, you know, right effort. You know, when we have unwholesome thoughts, we have to put an effort to stop it. You know, not to allow unwholesome thoughts to arise. When the unwholesome thoughts already arise, we try to abandon the unwholesome thoughts. But we can't abandon the unwholesome thoughts. We replace the thoughts. That's why a lot of people, because sometimes the thinking is too intense. And it's very difficult to stop it. So if you try too hard, if you try to use willpower to stop, it's become counterproductive. Then you replace the wholesome thinking, the positive thinking. So, and then you allow the positive thinking, you know, to feel in your heart. So that it's just like if constantly your house has someone stay in the house, the robbers won't come in. You know, you feel with this wholesome, when you feel with this positive thinking, wholesome thoughts, the unwholesome thoughts couldn't get in. So that is the effort. So actually a lot of people mix up with you know, they say, oh, you ask us to calm the mind, to still the mind, and then you want us to put in effort. The effort to stop. But we always the other way around. We put effort to do things, isn't it? To get things, isn't it? It's not. You put in effort to stop. It's not to put in effort to get more things, to do things, to steal the mind. It's because sometimes even we know that, for example, anger arises. Sometimes we couldn't stop it and we couldn't bite back our tongue. We still said something when we're upset. Even we're aware of that, but we just don't have the strength to hold, isn't it? To hold ourselves that no. That's what you got to have these three aspects. Just mindful enough, just to aware is not enough. So you have to have three aspects there. To have the right effort to stop it, to hold it, and to aware of that. That's why if we don't even aware that, we don't even know that we are suffer. So how come we deal with, how come we be happy, isn't it? We don't even know that we suffer, isn't it? And then we keep doing things that hurting ourselves, hurting others. And then we don't change the way of doing things, and then we expect that we have to have a different result. So we have to put in the cause but not keep looking at the results. So you have to have three aspects. You have to have the three factors there.
Thank you, Ajahn Sopana. One more question. Do you believe in blessing in disguise? Sometimes things happen that it doesn't obey, not obey with one plan, but it's a blessing in disguise, you know, when it's difficult at that moment, but yeah. Later on you think, oh, you know, yeah. That helped you.
Yeah, there's yeah. Sometimes things doesn't work out, it's okay. For example, if your girlfriend leave you, and it's okay, maybe you get a better one. Isn't it? So don't worry, no worries, no worries, you know. So it's okay, things doesn't work out, maybe it's just like you said, blessing in disguise, you know, you get the better one.
Thank you.
Okay. So any more questions or comments?
Yeah, how you going?
Thank you. Yes?
Yeah, mine's more an actual comment. I'd actually like to say, you know, thank you for being here and sharing what you learn and what you understand. It's my first time here, and yeah, I've just found it incredibly beautiful and harmonious. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. So, is it no more questions? Okay, go, gone. So, we just pay respect to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha.